Right. Hi, everybody. And I'm going to be a little bit invisible on this one, if that's okay. That's just the way it has to be at the moment. And we're on number three. This is the beginning of the first initiation compilation video commentary, number three. And today is the 28th of June, 2018. So let's look at this. The future exoteric ceremony, we're talking about the first initiation being given publicly later with the initiator as the Christ. And maybe the second initiation, I think, well, on the astral plane anyway, and we'll have to see whether there is an external version of that. The question anent initiation is one that is coming more and more before the public. You know, we've reached that degree of advancement. Humanity wants to expand beyond the personality limitations. This is simply an innate pressure from hierarchy, welling up from within humanity itself, a pressure from the higher aspects of the human being. Before many centuries pass, we're told, the mysteries will be restored, and an inner body will exist in the church of the period, of course, that's a few centuries ahead, of which the nucleus is already forming, wherein the first initiation will become exoteric in this sense only, that the taking of the first initiation will, before so very long, be the most sacred ceremony of the church. And so spiritual occultism and the church will meet. It will be the most sacred ceremony of the church, performed exoterically, as one of the mysteries given at stated periods, attended by those concerned. We're not given yet the hint as to who that will be, or how public this will be, or you know, how limited the attendance will be. But it's a very beautiful concept that the most sacred ceremony of the church. No church at present can touch that. And of course, if the Christ himself as the first initiator is present, then the Christ will be present in the stated church of the period. An amazing thought. It will also hold a similar place in the ritual of the Masons. You know, so there we have what DK is calling the EA degree, the entered apprentice. Now, you know, that generally means the first initiation, but if you're in the lodge, well, let's see, from the point of view of solar initiations, it's the third. From the point of view of the initiations in the Sirian system, an entered apprentice is a master, one of our masters. Amazing when you think about the elevation of the Sirian system. At this ceremony, those ready for the first initiation will be publicly admitted to the lodge by one of its members, authorized to do so by the great Hierophant himself. Now, who is that Hierophant? Well, usually when we talk about the great Hierophant, we mean Sanat Kumara, but it could be the great Hierophant. Could be the Christ or Sanat Kumara. But since it's the early degrees, it may well be the Christ. Let's see what DK tends to say about that. This in due time will lead to the giving of the first initiation publicly as part of the great ritual service of the then prevalent universal religion. So at first, it seems at first, the first initiation is given to a before select attendees, and then later more publicly, so it seems, as simply because it is exoteric does not mean that it is broadly public. So DK is very careful about talking about when this may be. We do remember, though, that the Christ will appear, and his appearance or reappearance will signal that humanity has taken the first initiation. The race of men will then, in its most advanced brackets and groups in every country in the world, be normally clairvoyant and will therefore see for themselves the light within the candidates. And all of this will be related to the energy of the seventh ray as it refines the vehicles of perception and also the vehicles of the personality in general, so that the light will shine forth more brightly. So we've been told that bodies of a higher nature, more resilient nature, will be the order of the day when the seventh ray works upon them. How many centuries this will take, we don't know, but we know that there's going to be some big work before those of us who are interested in these matters and who wish to serve the masters during this Aquarian age, which is the second of the terms of the Christ. Usually it's a 2,500-year term. Now it's going to be more like 5,000. So we will be his assistants, you know, in a remote way, of course, but hopefully in a helpful way and with full consciousness of what we're doing. So the attendees, at least the advanced members, more evolved members of humanity, will be able to see the light which is within man and within the candidate. And they will know that this is not just some mumbo jumbo, you know, but of course with the Christ as the Hierophant, how could it be? But so much of religion today is going through forms that have ceased to mean much, and the things that they talk about are not perceived by the onlookers. They will know then that the first initiation is justifiably undergone, so they can give their assent and their support, and they will also see the same light in thousands who in previous incarnations have taken that initiation. So I suppose, you know, in that area of the etheric brain around the pineal gland, there will be the type of simulation which promotes the development of the light in the head and a more advanced type of perception, in this case, etheric perception. So we have much to look forward to along these lines. You know, we may think that the first initiation for students like ourselves has been maybe undergone, and maybe sometimes we think, well, it's no big deal, but for humanity, it's a really big deal. Humanity is still, as a whole, far from undergoing the type of preparation and evidencing the type of aspiration cleansing of the etheric, physical, and other aspects of the personality to allow it really to be a candidate for initiation. So we don't know how long it will be before the Christ reappears, but obviously the higher brackets of humanity have to undergo a very considerable cleansing, house cleaning, as DK has told us, especially in the political and church field. And then it may be, will be possible, if the delays which are also discussed don't occur or don't go on for too long, it will be possible to lift the race of the human being, of humanity, to the status of the first degree initiate, which doesn't, of course, mean that all have taken that first initiation. It will simply mean that there's been a vibratory elevation by a significant number of people who have taken or are fit to take that initiation, and that will raise the vibratory level of humanity entirely, and its receptivity as well will be greatly enhanced. All right, here's another one from, now that was, looks like Ray's, maybe it's Esoteric Psychology Volume 1, I'm not sure, or maybe it's Ray's and the Initiation. Well, anyway, in any case, we're somehow still in Initiation Human and Soul, that wonderful little book, which was the first book to go public, as it were. And the book is chock full of necessary pieces of information to explain later things that will be encountered by the serious students. So the fairly frequent rereading of Initiation Human and Solar, or at least a topical study there, will be of great use as we continue our studies. excuse me. Now, a step into the spiritual kingdom. Literally, therefore, a man who has taken the first initiation is one who has taken the first step into the spiritual kingdom. He's begun to enter the fifth kingdom of nature. He's not a full participant yet, but he has entered, having passed out of the definitely human kingdom into the superhuman, although he still, I would say, oscillates for quite a while between the normal fourth kingdom, human tendencies, and the higher calling of the new kingdom. So that is really a statement about how a large portion of humanity will be entering the fifth kingdom. Already he's been talking about hundreds of thousands who have taken that initiation, and maybe there are some references even back in the days when these books were being written about millions. okay, just as he passed out of the animal kingdom into the human at individualization, although he still had quite an animal body, we might say, so he has entered upon the life of the spirit as it is expressed through the soul, okay? And for the first time, has the right to be called a spiritual man, not yet a divine man, that's a monadic factor, but the right to be called a spiritual man in the technical significance of the word. So we might just say, to remind ourselves that soul is spiritual and the monad is divine. We hear about the spiritual triad as a projection of that which is divine in the monad, and by the time we reach the second subplane and the first of the cosmic physical plane, we're into the worlds which could be and should be considered divine. Okay, this is the next one is an important statement here, too. The percentage of atomic substance. We read about how matter is constantly being upgraded, even subtle matter, in the vehicles of the progressing initiate, even the initiate of the threshold. So, again, the four initiations prior to that of adept, in this case, the adept means master. The arhat means fourth degree. Adept means, quote, master. Mark respectively the attainment of certain proportions of atomic matter in the bodies. Now, you know, atomic matter relates to the etheric vehicles. We're not so much talking about dense liquid and gaseous. Now, let's see if I... let's see here. There's so many things going on here. AAB diagrams and open. All right, good. So this will give us the chart we need. Tuya is working on a new one, which I think is very, very good and more suggestive and more accurate, in my opinion. But this chart that we've been using here has been very helpful over the years, and we want to give credit to Keith Bailey and the AUM group for making the chart more living, as it were, through the assignment of the appropriate colors to link up the various aspects of the human frame. All right, so here we go. The attainment. So the four initiations mark respectively the attainment of certain proportions of atomic matter in the bodies. For instance, at the first initiation, 1/4 atomic matter, I suppose, of all the etheric matter is my guess, of all the etheric matter. At the second initiation, 1/2 of all the etheric matter. At the third, 3/4 atomic matter, and so on to the completion of 100% at the fourth initiation. Now, you kind of wonder, with the etheric body being so high, how could the normal physical body survive that, and all of the other lower three subplanes of each one of the planes? And the answer is it doesn't really survive that. Maybe for a while, in the case of some, the fourth initiation body can be kept active, but for others, destruction, one way or another, is the result, and the possibility then of beginning with the projection of a Maya Virupa. Since Buddhi is the unifying principle, or the welder of all, in a way, just the way Mercury is, and Mercury being a Buddhic planet in its higher expression, and Jupiter and Neptune, through magnetism, bringing all together into a unity. At the fifth initiation, the adept lets the lower vehicles go and stands in the Buddhic sheath. Now, let's just say this can even happen at the fourth. But here is a statement by DK saying the fifth initiation is that which allows the release of the lower vehicles. Now, in the case of Master DK, I think he took the, we don't know whether he was born a fourth degree initiate, but possibly took that in that last incarnation, possibly, or maybe it had already been taken, but 1875 was the time he marked his mastership. So apparently he didn't let go of those vehicles, and there are rules and there are exceptions to the rules. So with the fifth initiation anyway, for sure, one can create the body of manifestation, and this is called the Maya Virupa. It's a will-created body. It has a lot to do with Virgo and with the monadic plane. Let's see if I can find that, you know. Okay, 1, 2, 3. I think the next one, that would be it, huh? Okay, so what does it say? Yeah, Kriya Shakti materializing the ideal. And I think that all of those various Shaktis are useful in creating the Maya Virupa, probably the permanent atoms of the spiritual triad are involved, as they have become the surviving permanent atoms, and are related to the larger permanent atoms which have been destroyed, or whose substance has been raised up into the threefold permanent atoms. So interesting that in the spiritual triad, the permanent atoms have three spirillae, whereas the astral and physical permanent atoms have seven, so more complicated. And if you put together the mental unit and the monastic permanent atom, you get a 4 plus a 3, which is a 7. So all those numbers are significant, but you do need this materializing power under Virgo, I think, in order to create a Maya Virupa. Now, do you have to be a 6th-degree initiate to do so? No. I think 5th-degree initiates can do this, and maybe, depending on what references we read, it's even possible at the fourth initiation if the physical nature has been relinquished, as so often, you know, it is, sometimes by will, or sometimes there's an internal change, and the lunar lords return from whence they came, significantly elevated in vibration, and What appears as a personality is really a will created. It appears very much the same, but it's will created. And what was said about that the fifth degree, let's see, the will created body is pretty much looking like what the master appeared to be when he was taking the fifth initiation. Somewhere it discusses that as a possible form, but again, you know, rules are made to be broken, and we cannot say it is necessarily the case in all instances. You know, Master DK was using a rather old vehicle, and he did sustain it. Now, we don't know what his vehicle, Mayavarupikli, looks like now, or whether he has retained that original vehicle. It's his inner consciousness, of course, that is important. Anyway, you see the progression of increasing atomic matter and less and less connection of the lower ethers will be present, linking up with the gaseous, liquid, and dense planes. So there may be a gap there, and part of that may be the contribute to the destruction of the causal body, whether it's monadically impelled or impelled from the triad, or whether the permanent atoms, the lower atomic triangle, contributes to the severing of the connection. I think they're all involved. Also, the Buddhic energy is involved in creating the disappearance of that causal body, of that egoic lotus. So there's a number of destructive factors. A purer form of love can be a very destructive factor, which is interesting. Okay, and I think, you know, needs to be experienced. I think there's certain forms of beauty and of love that no one can bear. And I think they, if they arise within oneself, there may be destruction. Is it possible to die of too much love? Is it possible to die of the recognition of something too beautiful? I think it is. Okay, so we're still in Initiation Human and Solar. An indication of commencement. So the probationary path corresponds to the latter period of gestation, maybe the last, you know, after the heart starts to beat, maybe the last 3 months or so, to the building in the heart of the babe in Christ. And that's associated with one of those astrological inner charts called the Neptune chart. And I'm not exactly sure what month that takes hold, but, you know, four or five months have to be passed before the Neptune chart is active. And then also maybe the beating of the heart. That is probably a piece of medical information that we can easily access. At the first initiation, this babe, you know, it's our consciousness that is the baby consciousness, really. This babe starts on the pilgrimage of the path. You know, in this case, the spiritual path. And he has the right to be called a spiritual man because he's taking has taken the first initiation. The first initiation stands simply for commencement of the planetary initiations. A certain structure, sufficient of right living, right thinking, and conduct has been built up. So behavior under the seventh ray is very important. You know how the seventh ray sets a certain outer form and behavioral standard. And we expect people who have taken this initiation to live up to a certain kind of standard, a certain kind of morality with respect to their community. It doesn't always hold, you know, but in general, a certain standard is maintained. That form of right thinking, et cetera, right living, right conduct, we call character. And we've been told, you know, by Thackeray, what is it? It's, sow a thought, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap character. Sow character, reap destiny. And the astrologers are always fond of saying that character is destiny. It is a true thing. the form we call character. It now has to be vivified and indwelt, and I would say this increasingly by Buddhic energy. The causal body is basically underlay by the solar angel and its projection, which I call the angel of the presence. But there are different degrees of Buddhic energy which can substand it. Really, the inner petals, the synthesis petals, are entirely Buddhic. They come from a stream of energy from the Buddhic plane. And I guess the jewel in the lotus is not only directly monadic, but has quite a bit of what we might call the atmic quality. Atmic and monadic, yeah. All right, well, there was a little pause for me because what I've just noticed is that my chronometer managed to turn off and I have to start it again. So my chances of reaching a one-hour program have been significantly reduced by that little accident. Okay, so commencement. Entering the fifth kingdom of nature, becoming a true disciple, still in a way a probationer, until accepted discipleship occurs somewhere between the first and second initiation. And so we may deviate from this structure of right living, right thinking, right conduct, but we know when we do, and we have to get back on the path and do it the right way, you know. So one sometimes strays from these things and recognizes it and then reasserts the right way. I'm sure it's an experience familiar to all of us. So this one is called Theory, is Becoming Fact. We're still in initiation, human and solar. The immortal destiny of each and all of us. Oh, by the way, I just want to say that I've done a quite complete commentary, well, fairly complete, on initiation, human and solar in a written manner, and it's on Makara. So you may want, you know, if you have time to read the associated thoughts, then you'll find it there, just the way the first half of Rays and Initiations is there, and almost the entire book, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, with the last 100 pages or so being done in this a video commentary style. The immortal destiny of each and all of us is to attain the consciousness of the higher self. In this case, let's call it the soul, and subsequently that of the divine spirit. At first, the soul on the higher mental plane, and then eventually impersonal triadal consciousness, which is a projection in three parts of monadic consciousness, and then the consciousness amazing identificatory extension of the monad or divine spirit. When the form is ready, when Solomon's temple has been built in the quarry of the personal life, because a lot of building, let's just say, a lot of building occurs on a strictly personal level, personality level, personal level, then the Christ enters, especially around the period perhaps of the fifth petal and the later fifth petal, and a man becomes an aspirant. Then the Christ life enters, and I suppose a new type of expression of the solar angel, angel of the presence, begins to occur, and the glory of the Lord overshadows his temple and, let's just say, more and more vibrantly as the later petals open. The form becomes vibrant. The inner form, I mean, you know, when we look at the totally primitive individual, one or two petals are open, and although this is all virtue in a sense, we can't really call it the full presence of the soul, and so many soul qualities still have to be built in on the higher mental plane. So then the form becomes vibrant. Therein lies the difference between theory and making the theory part of oneself. Of course, in the kind of work we do with Master DK's teaching and words, a lot of it is theoretical. Some of it is even theoretical to him. You know, when he talks about the cosmic astral plane, he says, I can't really tell you from experience what's there because I haven't been there. So, you know, he's making an honest admission, and yet he speaks of things that are so even far beyond that. So part of it is intuitive and theoretical, but the intuition backs up the theory. So as he says here, one can have a perfect image or picture, let's just say that which the personality has built into the causal body, but it lacks life, the animating principle, the soul. And it lacks sufficient solar fire. It lacks electric fire that comes later. The life can be modeled on the divine as far as may be. And, you know, we try to do what we do because the Christ did it and we want to follow in his footsteps. And as Master DK has said, it's not the real experience, but it's a step in the right direction. It may be an excellent copy, but lacks the indwelling Christ principle. And we all know that when true love begins to animate our lives, and I suppose buddhically suffuse the egoic lotus, something really different begins to happen. And we realize then that we've just been talking about love, but we have not actually experienced what it is in a spiritual and later divine sense when the causal body is destroyed. The germ has been there, but it has lain dormant. Now it is fostered and brought to the birth. I guess Virgo is involved there, and Jupiter, really expanding the possibilities of the expression of the Christ principle. And the first initiation is attained. So it's like, let's just say, after the first initiation, there is the sense of bringing theory into actuality and into practice and expression. So, you know, everybody knows the difference between that which is mentally proposed and still resides on the mental plane and that which is the presence of a real energy about which we have been talking, but which has not been suffusing us or expressed through us. So that theory may become reality, actuality, practice in the lives of all of us, and so that the great and high spiritual energies may be matters of that which is actually experienced rather than simply discussed, that would be a wonderful thing and something we're all striving for. And as we become true initiates, more and more of that will happen. Now, we're still continuing with initiation human and solar. There's a lot in there, you know, about these various initiations and then carried on later with the work of the rays and the initiations. And, of course, scattered throughout the books, there's, you know, he gave us the task of gathering it all up. And therein, we prove our tenacity and our sincerity. So here, this is about the sins of the flesh being overcome. At the first initiation, the control of the ego, and in this case, this is the consciousness within the causal body, part of it ours and part of it belonging to the solar angel, angel of the presence, some kind of mixture occurs there. The control of the ego over the physical body must have reached a high degree of attainment. We just don't let our instincts and our passions run away with us and obscure our higher intentions. Quote, the sins of the flesh, close quote, as the Christian phraseology has it, must be dominated. That doesn't mean they, you know, go away immediately. You know, a lot of people who are at a higher level still have these. It's difficult to explain why they are there, and sometimes they are there for a purpose other than we may suspect. I was just reading about Krishnamurti in this regard, and there's a whole story there if you want to get into it. It's not what we might have expected. But anyway, gluttony, you know, drink and licentiousness, these are extremes, of course, you know. Just the too much is there, and the Jupiter is there, you know, to bring excess, and I think I'll put that down, Jupiter is there to bring excess. All of these must no longer hold sway, however the tendency toward them may exist. The physical elemental will no longer find its demand obeyed, at least not instantly, and it will be regulated. The control must be complete and the lure departed. Well, okay, that's a really tough statement given disciples in the present age, given the tendencies of disciples in the present age. This is a demanding requirement, REQ. Okay, somehow RQ requirement. Okay, so the control must be complete. Okay. And the lure, even the lure, departed. Well, we know that this is the ideal, and occasionally the ideal does not occur. I'm sure many of us know from bitter experience that that is the case. A general attitude of obedience to the ego, general attitude, not complete success, must have been achieved, and at least the willingness to obey must be very strong, even though one may not always succeed. We always hear of people falling away from their highest state. It was some kind of movie about a priest, and it had this evocative title, The Runner Stumbles. Okay, it's apparently a good movie, but all about, you know, someone who falls, and DK discusses the fall of probationary initiates, and when it's a true initiate of the third degree or beyond who falls, if that's what it really is, then we have a serious problem that can affect the work and quite a number of people. So the channel between the higher and lower is widened, and the obedience of the flesh is practically automatic, and this widening occurs during initiation. So, as a matter of fact, I recall a discussion between the Master KH and DK with reference to Roberto Saggioli, and a very sensitive man, and actually, I think, an initiate of the third degree, and it was discussed, okay, shall we widen the channel further? Because apparently the Masters have this capability of widening the channel, and they decided against it because the individual, in this case, the disciple of Master KH helping Master DK, was sufficiently sensitive, and it might be incapacitating to widen the channel still further. So we have to be careful what we ask for. I've already told the story of T. Suba Rowe, R.O.W., Blavatsky's contemporary and probably her equal, who asked that all his karma be precipitated. He came down with this deadly disease, Hodgkin's, it's a kind of a lymphoma, isn't it? It's a terrible disease. He died of it, so apparently progress was stopped right there. But on the other hand, we never know. He may have cleared the decks. So the Masters have a certain Libran sense of right proportion about what, how much widening, how much stimulation to apply. And so does the Hierophant. It's an exact science when it comes to the Hierophant, who sees the causal body before him and probably starts to apply the rod of initiation to the causal body and maybe to other chakras, as it were, within it, but exactly and scientifically. You think of that first ray energy, it's called the power that touches and then withdraws. You know, you'll see this under the names of the ray lords. And when you're dealing with high energies, if you touch too long, you burn. And then you destroy the form and you destroy the possibility of progress. So this question of how one learns the art of being a Hierophant, well, he doesn't get into that, but you can see how utterly important it is to know exactly how much to apply, where to apply it, and so forth. Okay, here's something about the first and second initiations. We've discussed this at the first initiation, that of the birth of the Christ, the heart center is the one usually vivified. It is also at the fourth initiation, and we do have to remember that that transference of the sacral to the throat is encouraged and is a major transference for the first initiation. But the heart center, you know, the birth of the Christ in the heart suggests this. This heart center is vivified with the aim in view of the more effective controlling of the astral vehicle and of rendering greater service to humanity. So when the heart is really open, the astral vehicle can be controlled. The wide open solar plexus is not so good at that kind of control, but heart carries the factor of balance and also sensitivity of feeling and understands when others can be harmed by too violent a display of emotion. After this initiation, the initiate is taught principally the facts of the astral plane, not necessarily brought through into his brain consciousness. He has to stabilize his emotional vehicle and learn to, you know, Libra is coming into the picture there, a Libra ruled by Uranus, and Uranus being a prominent planet at the first degree, and learn to work on the astral plane, probably cultivating this ability with Neptune and the light of Venus and the kind of coherence and unification of Jupiter. Those are the three planets that will lead to the second degree. He has to stabilize his emotional vehicle and learn to work on the astral plane with the same facility and ease as he does on the physical plane. Now, maybe some of us had this, you know, in Atlantean days. It was a very astral civilization, and the ability to go out of the body and do various things was well developed, but has been now somewhat suppressed in favor of the development of the intellect, but still the ability does reside there. So, you know, subplane after subplane, plane after plane, a degree of mastery is occurring, and we're constantly building more proficiency in what we can do and how we can serve on these various planes. So he does it now, you know, with the same facility and ease as on the physical plane. Now, if you called upon a person to just do this, they might be a little nonplussed, not know what they're doing, but once they were out on the astral plane in the hours of sleep, they might know just what they're doing. He is brought into contact with the astral devas, oftentimes called Agni Suryans, and there's a higher type, too, connected with the Buddhic plane, Buddhic Agni Suryans. He learns to control the astral elementals, so they don't run riot over him. You know, being so Martian as they are, they don't accept restraint very well. He must function with facility on the lower subplanes of the astral, I suppose, but the sixth and seventh are supposed to be out of bounds. You know, we're not supposed to have lower sixth and seventh material built into our astral body, because those are pretty dense and horrible worlds, and the hell, we're told, of the average believer is found on that seventh subplane. So he must function with facility on the lower subplanes of the astral, and the value and quality of his work on the physical plane becomes of increased worth. He can really animate that and motivate others to carry out that which is worthwhile. He has his aspiration in place and can induce aspiration in the psyche of others. He passes at this initiation out of the Hall of Learning into the Hall of Wisdom. That's the beginning of the first initiation. Hall of Learning is pretty much connected with the first six petals. And at the first initiation, the fifth petal is completely unfolded and attention is given to the seventh petal, and that is Hall of Wisdom work. Even the probationary initiations are part of the Hall of Wisdom, or transit into the Hall of Wisdom. At this time, emphasis is consistently laid on his astral development, though his mental equipment grows steadily. So let's just realize that the overlap is constantly there, and it's not a cut-and-dried issue where only one thing at a time is attended to and then the next. And this, of course, is a very important paragraph, which I've mentioned before a number of times, And it just seems almost impossible to believe, but he's written it here, so certainly we have to give it adequate consideration. Many lives may intervene between the first and the second initiations, although the reference on page 120 kind of, he gives an alternative. A long period of many incarnations, how many is many, may elapse before the control of the astral body is perfected, okay, and the initiate is ready for the next step. Whew, perfection. It, very challenging. The analogy is kept in an interesting way in the New Testament in the life of the initiate Jesus. Many years elapsed between the birth and the baptism, maybe, 10 times more than the last 3 years. But the remaining three steps were taken in 3 years. So we've got 30 years and three. It's and each one of those was taken maybe in a different year, maybe the transfiguration in year 31. I'm just offering a proposal here. The crucifixion at least was taken in, the baptism maybe in year 31, the transfiguration year 32, let's say, and that was a reenactment of something that he had achieved as Joshua the high priest. And if the Christ was the actor and not the Master Jesus, it was something that the Christ had achieved long before. So many years elapsed between the birth and the baptism, but the remaining three steps were taken in 3 years. And this is, of course, the astonishing statement, and let everybody take it to heart and realize how much of the time equation may indeed be in their hands. I mean, if we take this seriously, our whole attitude towards our progress and what we're willing to do to move ahead as possible could change dramatically. Once the second initiation is taken, the progress will be rapid. The third and fourth following, probably in the same life or the succeeding. And the third and fourth seem to often go together, and sometimes the fourth and fifth. When I think about Milarepa, the great yogi saint of Tibet, I sometimes think that he took the second, third, fourth, and fifth in the same life, or at least from the position of being a second-degree initiate, went on for three, four, and five in the same life. But some of the facts of these matters will be vouchsafed for us when we're in the position to use them properly. Well, anyway, generally speaking, there is quite a span between the first and second initiation. However, if we go here and go to initiation human solar, and we go to page 120, and I'm not sure what we're going to find here, but here it is, and it gives it an alternative point of view. At the first initiation, he becomes aware definitely of the part, relatively inconspicuous, that he has to play in his personal life during the period ensuing between the moment of revelation, in that initiation, I suppose, and the taking of the second initiation. And this may involve, and this is the key, one life, one more life, or several. But it doesn't sound like many, does it? So this is kind of an alternative perspective. It's occurring a little bit later in the book, and it has to be factored in. He knows the trend that these lives should take. He realizes somewhat his share, somewhat, it's not absolutely definite, in the service of the race. He sees the plan as a whole where he himself is concerned, a tiny mosaic within the general pattern. He becomes conscious of how he, with his particular type of mind, aggregate of gifts, mental and otherwise, and his varying capacities can serve, and what must be accomplished by him before he can again stand in the presence and receive an extended revelation. And that presence is the presence, in this case, of the Christ, the second initiation. But what is said here is true of every initiation. So here on page 84 and 85, and contrasting it with page 120, are two different perspectives of how long it may take to take this second initiation once the first has been taken. Now, you know, I'm completely lost when it comes to how long this program has gone on because this thing quit on me, you know. So don't hold me to that hour. I may be less, I may be more. Here's from Initiation Human and Solar, recognition of third aspect of the ego. That's the aspect of the higher ego, which begins to appear, disappear at the third initiation. At the first initiation, the initiate becomes aware of the third or lower aspect of the ego, that of active intelligence. That's the first, revealing the third aspect. And these are housed in the knowledge petals, which have been opened a long time before, even millions of years before. He is brought face to face with that manifestation of the great solar angel, Petri, who is himself, the real self. Well, it is himself in a way, yes. He is also a projection of the monad, and the solar Petri and its extension into the causal body is so infused with his own consciousness that he can consider this solar angel as himself, as an aspect of himself, or at least he can consider the solar logos as an aspect of himself. It is underlaid by the monad and by the presence of the solar Petri. He knows now past all disturbance, interesting word, that that manifestation of intelligence is that eternal entity who has for ages past been demonstrating its powers on the physical plane through his successive incarnations. So this tells us something of how the solar angel works through its instrument, how the solar angel works through its instrument. You know, it's not entirely avataric, we might say. An avatar descends from above with no possibility of growth in what he's doing in that descent, but the solar angel needs this as part of his ongoing growth, so it's not exactly avataric in the strict sense of the word. So somehow at the third degree, these the disintegration of the knowledge petals begins, and as we move closer and closer to the monad, which has been called Atmabuddhi, the knowledge petals per se, well, there, you know, the knowledge is there, but one has less reliance upon them because increasingly the intuition is opening up. Well, one day we'll be able to see as Master DK sees, and it will all become a technical and scientific point of view, and we'll be able to advise and help with a degree of certainty which we cannot now achieve. So here we go, and this one we just did, you know, we just read it. So, and I didn't know that it would be listed in this compilation, but here is this idea that one life or more may be involved in the interim between the first and second initiation, and not the many lives. That, but of course, it's still a little vague what many lives means. This may involve one life, one more life, just even one more life. That's interesting for the second initiation to be taken, or several. So that's quite astonishing. And, you know, those are one of those things where you just have to kind of hold your judgment on the matter. I do believe. Hold judgment, because DK apparently has said two different things, but given that there are different kinds of people who treat time in a different way, we have to go with the possibility that both are true, and that the idea of the many lives may be precisely what we actually experience. The ability to balance physical plane forces, okay? Electrical phenomena are scientifically recognized as dual in nature, the fifth ray types, and when the fifth ray energy is part of our equipment, we tend to recognize these things, but the inherent triplicity of electricity is as yet but a matter for speculation. The neutral electricity, the Well, you know, even in the particles, we have the electron, the proton, and the neutron is not carrying a charge. Here we have, so we have some sort of neutral balancing electricity, probably related to solar fire, I would guess. Probably RTD to solar fire. The fact that it is triple is demonstrated to the initiate at the first initiation. You know, many things shown, but maybe not retained, at least in the brain consciousness. And the secret of how to balance forces on the physical plane and thereby produce equilibrium is revealed to him at the first initiation, I have to say, in which Libra is very important. Libra having to do with the sex impulse that he has to control, with the sacral center ruled by Uranus, which rules the by Uranus. And so the Libra is the esoteric ruler of the sacral center, and well, it's the only ruler Nike gives, and it's the esoteric ruler of Libra, and is important from the seventh ray perspective, which has to regulate the sacral center. And then Saturn has a high place with its third ray in third ray Libra, taking us right to the throat center where the transfer occurs from sacral to throat. So this secret of how to balance forces, I wonder how many of us who may have taken the first initiation really remember this in our brain consciousness. The secret likewise puts him in touch with certain of the builders on the physical plane, that is, on the etheric levels, because really the true physical plane is the etheric plane, and he can then produce physical plane phenomena should he deem it wise. So let's call it ability to precipitate from the etheric body to the dense physical body. This he seldom does, as the results gained thereby are practically unimportant, and he wastes not energy in this manner because, you know, he's working under the third ray at this point, and the law of economy is very important. The workers with the involutionary forces, the brothers of darkness, employ this method for the startling and the enthralling of the unwary, you know, bring fear into their lives, captivate them, attract them, lure them, imprison them. Not thus work the brothers of humanity. Okay, friends, we look like we're getting into a new book, and I'm very much likely to bring this in a bit short. Sorry if that's the case, but something happened to my chronometer, you know. So anyway, let's call this the end of first initiation. First initiation commentary. Commentary video. Well, we'll just do it this compilation. Ah, that's it. Let's try this one. First initiation compilation video commentary. There we go. And now this is this is number 3. And today is the 28th of June and the beginning. I'm always getting rid of stuff I shouldn't. And this is beginning a first initiation compilation video commentary number 4. And I'm not sure what day I can do it. Now it's a bit late and can't do it at this moment. Okay, well, some of you may have welcomed the fact that my face is not off on the upper left, but that's all I could do at the moment given the setup I've got. So we have a lot to think about, and just because we're studying the first initiation and some of us may have taken that initiation doesn't mean that it's not really, really worth the study. Okay, so absorb these factors as best you can and fix the important matters in your consciousness and in your memory, and then when it comes time to apply them for service purposes, you will have an easy access to them from your what well-stocked mind, as Alice Bailey might say, and from the growing intuition that comes as knowledge in the Hall of Wisdom is increasingly becoming or transformed into wisdom. Okay, so farewell, and we'll be seeing you soon. And if it's a little short, then please forgive that. I'll be putting this on YouTube, and later it's going to go up onto Makara. We've got some adjustments we're making at the moment, and anyway, it should be increasingly available to you in two places. So thanks for your studies. Continue your studies. Absorb and integrate this knowledge into your consciousness and apply it in service when it is triggered, when it is called forth, when it is evoked, as it will be if you stand in readiness to be helpful. Okay, all the best. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.